This is Serenade Radio with the best in easy listening. Now here's Mark Stein with Stein's Song of the Week.
Shall we play a round of Beat the Verse? I used to do this on the radio a zillion years ago. Here comes a not-so-well-known introductory verse to the very well-known chorus that follows, and all you have to do is identify the song title before the verse ends. As I recall, we used to give the winner a fully loaded BMW, I think it was, or maybe a Ford Cortina. But the prize cupboard's a little bare, so this round's just for fun, for an imaginary BMW. But it will get you where we're headed.
When all the world is a hopeless jumble, and the raindrops tumble all around, heaven opens a magic lane. When purple clouds darken up the skyway, there's a lovely highway to be found, leading from your window pane to a spot behind the sun, just a step beyond the rain. Somewhere over the rainbow.
That's Mr. E.Y. Harburg, Edgar Yipsel Harburg. Yipsel means squirrel, and everyone called him Yip. And he wrote the lyrics for Brother Can You Spare a Dime, and April in Paris, and It's Only a Paper Moon. And he also came up with one of the best definitions of songwriting. Quote, words make you think a thought, music makes you feel a feeling, a song makes you feel a thought. That's a brilliant way of looking at what lyrics and music add to each other when they blend perfectly, and you feel what a lonely little girl is thinking in the bleak barnyard of a monochrome Dust Bowl world, dreaming of a land where troubles melt like lemon drops.
Some place where there isn't any trouble. Do you suppose there is such a place, Toto? There must be. It's not a place you can get to by a boat or a train. It's far, far away. Behind the moon, beyond the rain.
That song. Well, let's see. Just for starters, the studio executives, the film's producer, the film's director, the music publisher, and even that lyricist, Yip Harburg. The Wizard of Oz is based on a book by L. Frank Baum, the founder and editor of a publication called Show Window, dedicated to the art of department store window displays. And if you're thinking, wow, what a stupid idea for a magazine, loser. Well, that shows how much you know, because it's still in publication a century and a quarter later, although it has changed its name to VMSD, Visual Merchandising and Store Design. Aside from that magazine, Mr. Baum wrote over a dozen books about the magical land of Oz, and I must have read at least half of them to my little girl because she loved them. The first was published in 1900, and Frank Baum himself adapted it into a stage musical just 2 years later, and it was a smash on Broadway. So let's have one of those beloved comical songs for the denizens of Oz. Here's the Scarecrow.
Well, why some pies can never be forgotten, let me tell you about one. One day a weary traveler walked down a village street.
Did he?
I think he did. He thought he'd stop and ask a lady for a bite to eat.
Did he?
I think he did.
What the heck is going on there? Well, that's the Scarecrow singing one of his showstoppers from the 1903 Broadway production of The Wizard of Oz. Words by L. Frank Baum, music by Paul Tietjens, who went on to write symphonies, sonatas, a concerto, and a very serious opera called The Tents of the Arabs. The excitement was intense, as they say. The Wizard of Oz was a big hit on Broadway and starred the beloved vaudevillian double act of Montgomery and Stone, who played the Tin Man and the Scarecrow and got a lot of laughs. And the numbers did well enough too, to the point where the audience demanded so many encores that the show ran over 4 hours. And all MGM knew when they decided to make a movie of The Wizard of Oz a third of a century later is that even though Paul Tietjens was still alive and available, they didn't want any of his songs. So they hired Harold Arlen and Yip Harburg, and a brand new score just poured out of them. Since we heard the singing lyricist a little earlier, here's the singing composer with a bit of help from Barbara Streisand.
Ding dong, the witch is dead.
Witch, oh witch.
Well, the wicked witch.
Oh.
Ding dong, the wicked witch is dead.
Oh, we dead.
Wake up, you sleepy head.
Rub your eyes.
Get out of that bed. Wake up, the wicked witch is dead.
She's gone where the goblins go below. Below, below your hole. Let's open up and sing.
And ring those bells out.
Sing the news out.
Ding dong, the merry O. Sing it high and sing it low. Let them know the wicked old witch is dead.
Why, everyone's glad she took such a crowning.
Getting hit by a house is even worse than drowning.
Let them know the wicked old witch is dead.
Harold Arlen and Barbara Streisand with a semi-twisting, rockin' and rolling take on Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead. All that stuff came easy to Arlen and Harburg. We're off to see The Wizard, if I only had a brain. What Arlen called the lemon drop songs, all the Munchkin novelty numbers. But Over the Rainbow was the first song in the movie, and it was the last to be written. The composer knew Little Dorothy needed a big tune, an emotion-ringing ballad, and the awesome weight of it seemed to freeze his creativity. He and Harburg had a 14-week contract with MGM. It was week 14, at the end of which Louis B. Mayer would cease paying them and hire somebody else to write the big number. And yet Arlen couldn't get the tune. That last week, while he was tootling along Sunset Boulevard en route to see a movie, the melody more or less fell out of the sky and into his lap. He saw the picture, got home at midnight, and called Yip Harburg. Come right over, I've got the tune. There was one slight problem. The lyricist hated it. That big octave leap on the first two notes sounded all wrong to Harburg, all wrong for a lonely farm girl in the Great Depression. Oh no, not for Little Dorothy, said Yip. That's for Nelson Eddy. I.e., it's a big, florid, bombastic operetta tune. Sometimes, when a lyric writer doesn't warm to a melody, the composer withdraws it and writes another. But Arlen determined to defend his corner. So they asked Ira Gershwin to adjudicate. Arlen, Gershwin and Harburg were good friends. The latter two had been in high school together and had written a column for the school newspaper called Much Ado by Yip and Gersh. And this was some serious ado. And Arlen and Harburg wanted their chum to pronounce one way or the other on Harold's tune for Little Judy Garland. Arlen played the music very grandly, symphonically, like a fellow who knows he's written something important. And Ira Gershwin couldn't really hear it, so he asked him to pick it out on the piano with one finger. Plunk, 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 plunky, plunk, plunk. Ira cocked his head. "There's nothing wrong with that," he said. And Harburg agreed, there wasn't.
Somewhere over the rainbow, way up high, there's a land that I heard of once in a lullaby. Somewhere over the rainbow, skies are blue, and the dreams that you dare to dream really do come true.
What's a rainbow got to do with the Wizard of Oz anyway? There's no such meteorological phenomenon in Frank Baum's book, but as Yip conceived it, for little Dorothy in hardscrabble Depression-era Kansas, the rainbow is the only colourful thing she's seen in her life. It's what gave MGM the idea of shooting the Kansas scenes in monochrome and reserving full blazing colour for when Dorothy gets to Oz. Harburg wanted a song to express the importance of the rainbow in the dirt-poor life of a lonely little girl full of yearning, and he'd given his composing partner the title Over the Rainbow Is Where I Want to Be. Because as Yip's son Ernie Harburg once told me, the rainbow was Yip's principal contribution to the whole project. Meanwhile, Harold Arlen was having difficulty with the middle section, the middle eight. Harburg had his own ideas about that. He didn't want another grand Nelson Eddy theme like the opening, but something more suited to a little girl. Arlen had a small dog called Pan. Yip called him a silly little dog who ran away. And when he ran away, Harold would go to the back door and call him in with a little whistle. And one night, while they were working on the song, Harold broke off to go call back Pan the dog. "Harold," began Yip. And then he suggested to one of the most inventive composers in the history of popular music that he simply plagiarize his own dog whistle, which he did.
Someday I'll wish upon a star and wake up where the clouds are far behind me, where troubles melt like lemon drops away above the chimney tops. That's where you somewhere over the rainbow, bluebirds fly. Birds fly over the rainbow. Why then, oh, why can't I?
Not long before Harold Arlen died, I telephoned him at home because there was something he'd said to me a couple of years earlier that I wanted a bit of clarification on. But I'd heard from a mutual friend that he was sick with the illness that would eventually kill him. So we were chit-chatting, and I could tell he wasn't having the easiest time of it. And a final question started to make its way up my gullet. And then I thought, nah, he's sounding pretty tired. I should let him go. And to this day, I regret never asking Harold Arlen that last question, which was, After Over the Rainbow, did you continue to use the middle section as your dog whistle for your little dog? Because if Harold was ever walking Pan in the park or past the diner and the strains of Someday I'll Wish Upon a Star came wafting over from the bandstand or the lunch counter radio, presumably the poor traumatized mutt bolted and fled for home.
Where troubles melt like lemon drops away above the chimney tops, that's where you'll find me, somewhere over the rainbow. Bluebirds fly, birds fly over the rainbow. Why then, oh, why can't I?
Arlen and Harburg's publisher didn't like the song at all. He objected to that octave chasm on Somewhere because it made the song too difficult to sing, while simultaneously objecting to the middle section because it was too simple to sing. It's like a child's piano exercise, he complained. True. Yet oddly, it's the bit that's too simple that some very accomplished vocalists find rather difficult. They can sound a little stiff trying to wrap themselves around it.
Someday I'll wish upon a star and wake up where the clouds are far behind me. Where troubles melt like lemon drops away above the chimney tops, that's where you'll find me. Somewhere over the rainbow skies are blue. Birds fly over the rainbow. Why then, oh why can't I?
Ray Eberly mangling the rhyme, but it didn't stop that being a number one hit for the Glenn Miller Orchestra. No thanks to MGM. During previews, the song was thrown out of the film three times. By the studio boss, by the producer, by the director. Eventually, Louis B. Mayer figured, what the hell, let the boys have the damn song. At that year's Oscars, The Wizard of Oz got shut out by Gone with the Wind in every major category, except the Academy Award for Best Song. Here's one scene the audience never saw. Little Dorothy is the prisoner of the Wicked Witch and missing Aunt Em, and Judy Garland was so convincing, it terrified the children at those previews too much.
Someday I'll wake and rub my eyes, and in that land beyond the skies, you'll find me. Somewhere over the rainbow, bluebirds fly. Birds fly over the rainbow. Why?
We all know what Judy Garland found on the other side of the rainbow, pills and booze and feckless men, and on particularly sad nights in the 1960s, half the crowd were only there to see if she'd fall apart when she got to Over the Rainbow. We're all familiar with that, perhaps because you were there at the Palace in New York or the Talk of the Town in London, or perhaps just because you saw that very real, maybe too real, biopic about Judy from a year or two back with Renee Zellweger.
This next one, it isn't a song about getting anywhere. It's about walking toward somewhere that you've dreamed of. And maybe the walk is every day of your life, and the walking has to be enough. It's about hope. And we all need that. Somewhere over the rainbow, way up high, there's a land that I've heard of once in a lullaby.
And then Judy Garland died.
Somewhere.
And a song indelibly linked with a great artist then became indelibly linked with a great artist's tragic end, as the bookends of a short life. The little girl in the barnyard and the exhausted husk, old beyond her years, dead in the bathroom of a rented muse house in Belgravia. And although everyone recognised Over the Rainbow was a truly great song, for whatever reason, the very best singers were wary and kept their distance, as if they would be intruding not just on a legend, but also on her fate. Until one day, one of those serendipitous things happened, and a singer nobody had ever heard of brought back the song in an entirely individual style. By the time that record became a hit, Eva Cassidy was also dead. It is weird and unsettling to have a song whose most famous iterations are both those of chanteurs dead before their time. Is there any way to do Over the Rainbow that's not freighted by female tragedy? Well, sure, you can do what the Hawaiian uke player Israel Kamakawiwoli did. He had Ian to sing this song, and he called his local recording studio and they said, "We're about to close, but if you can get here in 15 minutes and don't take too long." So he grabbed his ukulele, hurried down there and did the thing in one take.
Goodbye, oh,
Notwithstanding its lyrical and musical amendments, number one in France, number one in Germany, as heard in the TV series ER, and in innumerable films from Life on Mars to Snakes on a Plane, Israel Kamakawiwoli. Ah, but he too died young and never saw any of that success. So here's one of the happiest of men. We started with Yip Harburg singing that unheard verse. Let's end with that verse and a guy who puts it to terrific use, just bouncing off the end of it and soaring way above the chimney tops. And one quick point, Yip had terrible difficulty getting the lyric for the chorus. It took him ages to come up with that first word, somewhere. Same thing with the first line of the verse. So eventually, Ira Gershwin said to him as a gift from one lyricist to another, try this, when all the world is a hopeless jumble.
When all the world is a hopeless jumble, and the raindrops tumble all around, heaven opens a magic lane. When all the clouds darken up the skyway, there's a rainbow highway to be found, leading from your window pane to a place behind the sun, just a step beyond the rain. I heard of once in a lullaby. Somewhere over the rainbow, skies are blue, and the dreams that you dare to dream really do come true. Someday I'll wish upon a star and wake up where the clouds are far behind me. Where troubles melt like lemon drops, way above the chimney tops, that's where you'll find me. Somewhere
Tony Bennett swinging and joyous on a song that is too rarely heard that way. Arranged by Bill Holman, music by Harold Arlen, words by Yip Harburg, first line of the verse by Ira Gershwin, and of course, courtesy of Little Pan the Pooch, a dog whistle down the decades.
Somewhere over the rainbow, bluebirds fly. Fly over the rainbow, why then, oh, why can't I? If happy little bluebirds fly beyond the rainbow, if happy little bluebirds fly beyond the rainbow, why, oh, why can't I?
What's left to say after that? Nothing. Except, as Judy Garland herself liked to put it, a marvellous expression of hers, that song has been sung.
Somewhere
Stein's Song of the Week was presented by Mark Stein and produced for Serenade Radio by Brian Savin.